week for that one?
Yeah, we'll do it next week for that. Well, good morning. We serve a faithful God. The song says, "All my life you have been faithful." I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God. Even when we're not faithful, He's faithful. Even when we're not good, He's good. Amen. And so I'm thankful for the power and the presence of God that we can feel in our lives, that we can have in our hearts. And I love the scripture. It says He will never leave us or forsake us. And, you know, sometimes we get the impression, I think, of God that when we're good, He sticks around. We're not good, He goes, you know. But, I mean, God is our faithful, constant companion. And that He's not mad at you, He's mad about you. Amen. That He loves you with an everlasting love today. And it is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's what the scripture says, that it's the good pleasure for Him to give you the kingdom, that He loves to bless His children. How many of you in here love to bless your children? Probably sometimes, if anything, we're guilty of blessing them too much, right? Amen. You know, sometimes the things that I lavish on them is because I want them to have them, not even so much because they want to have it, but because we enjoy blessing our children, right? We got to steal away for a couple of days this week and go down and see my daughter who's in North Carolina, and it had been quite a while since we had been down there. And so Nana and Papa had to do a little bit of spoiling on that end for a couple of days down there and got to go out and spend some time together. And it's just good to, I'm telling you, those hugs around your neck are just good medicine, aren't they? And they're just good therapy. But I believe that our Father loves His children. And I believe that He loves to lavish good things on His children. And, you know, when we understand that He is a good, good Father and He's Papa God and that He loves us with an everlasting love, I believe that we realize that we live under an open heaven and all that He has is ours at our access. And so I'm just so thankful for that. This morning, we've been doing a lot of just different talking about different things throughout the year and talking about people who rose up in the time of crisis and chaos in their country and their nation and made a difference. How many know the Bible is full of ordinary people who did extraordinary things? Do I have any ordinary people in here today? A few of you. Do I have any extraordinary people in here today? And that's usually the one it's hard to get everybody to raise their hand when I say, you know, do we have any? But how many know the Bible is not full of people that walked on water and glowed in the dark? There were a few, right? But how many know God would call on ordinary people who didn't think they had the goods or didn't think they had the qualities or didn't think they had the resources to do what God called them to do? Amen. When Moses, we talked about Moses a couple weeks ago, when God begins to call Moses and send him back to deliver the children of Israel, to deliver a nation, the first thing that Moses does is tell God all the reasons why he can't do it. Right? And God says to Moses, "I am that I am. I will deliver my people. I will bring deliverance. I will do it." And the whole time Moses is saying, "But I can't." And God's saying, "I will deliver my people." But Moses said, "But I don't speak well." He said, "Moses, I am going to deliver my people, but I don't know how to do it." And how many know a lot of times what we do is God tries to give us a command. God gives us direction, and we find all the reasons why it can't happen. Am I in the room by myself today? I start thinking about, well, that ain't ever going to work. That's not going to happen. Well, how could that be? So the title of my sermon this morning to you is Permission to Quit. Do I have your attention? Permission to quit. How many here ever wanted to quit? I won't even look when I say that. I'll just look at my book here, and we'll just move right along. But how many know God spoke? How many know God did not let Moses off the hook? Moses would say all the reasons why he could, and God would just keep on talking. See, I love the story even in the New Testament when Jesus gets to the wedding of Cana of Galilee with his mom. Remember that story? And his mom comes to Jesus and says to him, "Son, they have no wine." And Jesus says, "Okay, what is that to me? I'm not getting married. I'm not the wedding planner," right? "They have no wine." And Jesus said, "Okay, it's not my time yet." And his mother does not miss a beat. She does not even answer him. She says to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Sound like a mama? "Whatever he says to you, do it." She does not even answer his comment when he says that. How many know his mama believed in him enough to know that if Jesus speaks, something's going to happen here at this wedding? And so Jesus does the first miracle at the prompting of his mom, and he turns water into wine at Cana of Galilee. You remember the story? Moms, don't underestimate yourself. Don't underestimate the impact that you can have on a generation or those in your house. Dads, don't underestimate yourself. I'm not leaving anybody out today, but I will say I'll be a little bit on the women's side this morning just because we got the Girl Scouts here and we got some powerful women here, right? And we're celebrating Girl Scouts. But I think one of the things, if we'll realize, if we quit looking at color, gender, race, creeds, and all those kind of things, and just start looking at the anointing and the deposit of God that is in people, we will get so much farther, because God has placed inside each and every one of us the seed of faith and the power and the anointing to be what God has called us to be. How many in here today believe that you are anointed and appointed to do what God has called you in the earth? Do you know how we're going to change our nation? One person at a time, one house at a time. The greatest house you will affect is not the White House, it's your house. And when we begin to raise leaders and men and women of God that know who they are, that they're responsible, that they respect themselves and others, that they're considerate and they're caring and they use resources and they're friendly and helpful and honest and fair, how many know that's how you change a nation? Whether you change them in the Girl Scouts, or change them in Sunday school, or change them in your classroom, or change them in your home, or change them on the street. I mean, no, change happens when somebody stands up and says, "I'm going to be an agent of change." Yeah. Hallelujah. Some of the most powerful people in my life are women. I have some powerful men in my life as well. But I said this the other Sunday, probably the most powerful, instrumental woman in my life probably that got me to where I am here is my grandmother Ethel, that prayed her family into church, that turned their lives around. My grandmother Barker, who would gather up a family of 6 and 7 kids and take us to church and keep candy in her purse so she could keep us quiet so my mom could go to church, right? And so down through the years, my aunts and my mom and the different ones who imparted in my life and convinced me that I could be what God called me to be. Amen? How many know everybody needs an encourager? Everybody needs a champion in their chariot. See, I love the story. I may just jump all over the place this morning because there's just so many women that I could talk about. But how many know when God gets ready to use Barak in the book of Judges? You know the story in the book of Judges where he's getting ready to send Barak out to battle. And he calls Deborah, and Deborah tells him, Deborah's the prophetess. She's the voice of authority at the time. And she tells him, "Go out to battle, and God is going to give you the victory over the army," right? You remember the story? Yeah. Barak says, "I'm not going unless you go with me." Now, he's the captain of the army, the guy that God chose to be victorious, and he said, "I'm not going to battle unless Deborah goes with me," because he knew that Deborah could hear from God. Yeah. How many know she became the champion in his chariot? And everybody needs a champion in their chariot, somebody that doesn't just tell you what you can do, doesn't just tell you your potential, doesn't just give you a command that said, you know what, I'll tell you what you can do, but I'll do you one better. I'll get in the chariot with you. How many know somebody needs, I'm thankful for the champions who got in my chariot, and I'd say, I can't do this, and they'd say, oh, yes, you can. And then they would ride with you in the chariot. Somebody that'll not only see the potential in you, somebody that not only put a demand on the potential that's in you. You know, sometimes we got to put a demand on the giftings that are in people. And when they don't see it themselves, you can say, I see it in you, and I put a demand on that gift. You can do this. I know you can, to be an encourager to somebody. To say, you can do this, you can conquer this, you're powerful, you're anointed, you're called, you're purposed. And not only tell you all those things, because how many know it's easy to say it, but it's another thing to get in the chariot with you and said, I believe it enough to get in the chariot with you and to go with you in this challenge or in this battle. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the Bible is full of, it's full of stories of people, God using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And so I want to go this morning to Esther. I want to talk about Esther for a few minutes. Esther chapter 2 and 12, I just wanted to put it in there for a minute, and then I'll move on to the next part. But it says, now when every maid's turn was to come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of her purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of women. Now, I just wanted to put that verse in there to let you know that before Esther ever went into the king, she went through a process of purification and anointing oils and myrrh. And I don't have time to tell you this morning about all the powerful properties of myrrh, and even to how the myrrh tree is the harvest of the myrrh tree, they wound the tree. And when they wound the tree bleeds. Myrrh is a real beautiful picture of the crucifixion of Jesus on the cross. And when they wound the tree bleeds. And it bleeds a resin. And that resin is for healing. The leaves of that tree and the resin of that tree was for the healing of the nation. And so many properties of the myrrh. How many know we know that they brought myrrh to Jesus? The gold and frankincense and myrrh. They brought the incense and the spices. But how many know before Esther ever goes to the king, she's anointed with myrrh. When we talk about the anointing, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus said that I and my Father will come and we will take up our abode within you. And he said, I won't leave you comfortless, but I will send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the power of God within us. The Holy Spirit inside of us is that still small voice. It's that voice that speaks. And it's that power and presence and the anointing of God that's inside of us. So that when we operate, we may operate in the earthly, but how many know we're connected to the heavenly? That we're not just earthly beings, but the anointing and the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit is within us. How many know Esther has the confidence and the power and the gifting and even the unction to go to the king because she first has been anointed. She knows who she is. But in Esther chapter 4, it says, and Mordecai told him, verse 7 through 17, and Mordecai told him of all that happened unto him and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasure for the Jews to destroy them. How many know Haman has set out to destroy the Jews, God's people, and he's got a plan in place. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and declare it unto her, and charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatak, And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther told unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces, do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put them to death. except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. I mean, no, they have a plot and they want to kill the Jews. There's a plot to assassinate the Jews that Haman has devised. And so Mordecai, being the man of God, he's the uncle of Esther, and he goes to Esther and he said, Esther, there's a sinister plot, and they're going to destroy the Jews. You are going to have to petition the king. And Esther says, that's not how it works. You don't just go in to the king. I don't just go in and get to tell him what I want. The king tells me what he wants. And what does she do? She starts telling him the reasons why she can't do what she's been asked to do. Don't we all fall into that trap sometimes, into that path of we start thinking of all the reasons why we can't instead of all the reasons why we can. He says to her, he said, Esther, don't think that you will escape this because you're in the king's house. But he said, who knows that you aren't come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Another translation says, perhaps this is the moment that you've been waiting for. Perhaps this is your moment. And so all through history, you know, the girls started out by saying powerful things about women who have excelled in all different areas and different departments and things like that. How many know sometimes you just got to get up in the morning and tell yourself, if somebody else can do it, I can do it too. If somebody else can do it, I can do it too. I love the story, and I've told this many times, of Orville and Wilbur Wright, who become the first ones to invent, you know, the airplane to get it to fly. How many know they had many failures before they had successes? When at first you don't succeed, don't stop trying. Don't give up, right? Change your method and do it again. And they... all the thing that's most powerful about Orville and Wilbur Wright is they did not take no for an answer. They did not listen to the voices of everybody else that said, you know, that thing's too big to fly. And that every time it went down and every time it went a little bit farther. But how many know they got up one morning and said, I think I can fly. I think I can touch the sky. Dream about it every night and day. Going to spread my wings and fly away. Okay, maybe they didn't write that one, but they were the inspiration of that, right? But how many know you got to get up sometimes with the thoughts in your head and say, there's something more to this. And maybe if I can play my part. How many are thankful today that Orville and Wilbur Wright did not give up? We now can fly airplanes all over the world. We can take spaceships to the moon because somebody didn't take no for an answer, and someone had permission to quit. And so, my thing keeps going off. And so what happens is, here's the permission. Are you ready? They had permission to quit reciting all the reasons why you can't and start believing all the reasons you can. You have permission to quit talking defeat. You have permission to quit talking like you belong to a defeated kingdom. Come on, I hear a whole lot of God's people talking defeat this day. And I just want to tell you, we're still on plan A. God's still in charge. He's still King of Kings. He's still Lord of Lords. The government is still upon his shoulders. And I've given myself permission to quit talking defeat, quit talking fear, quit talking like you belong to a defeated kingdom, quit believing that your God is not big enough. Quit giving power to a defeated devil. Quit competing with somebody else and stay in your assignment and do what God has called you to do. Quit allowing other people to use and abuse you. Quit the blame game. Quit talking about how bad our country is and start praying and start confessing how good it is. How many know on our worst day in America, it's still pretty good? We've got some things to do. We've got some work to be done. We've got some things to change. We've got some healing to do in our nation. But how many know it just takes people who will stand up one day like Rosa Parks and say, today's the day I'm not giving up my seat. I'm going to hold my ground. I'm going to make a change. Who says a woman can't change something? Who says a man can't change something? How many know we can be agents of change? When God came to Gideon, when the angel came to Gideon, and Gideon is hiding wheat under the wine press. How many know you put wine in a wine press? Not wheat in a wine press. So if you're going to hide wheat, why not put it in a wine press? Because who looks for wheat in a wine press, right? How much wood can a woodchuck chuck? So he comes to him, and what he does is says to him, hail, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. Yeah. And you'd think Gideon would stand up and say, yeah, you know. But he looks around to see who the angel's talking to, right? And he questions the angel and he said, if the Lord is with us, then where be all of his miracles? Where are you, Lord? Where are you in the midst of the Philistines that are trying to take over? Where are you in the midst of chaos? Where are all your miracles? And basically what the angel tells him, he says to the angel, he said, don't you know that I'm even the least of my father's house? I am the least likely candidate to be called a mighty man of valor. I'm the least in my father's house. And if the Lord is with us, where be all of his miracles? And you know what the answer is? They're locked up inside of you, Gideon. Because I'm going to take you, the least likely candidate, the least in his father's house, and I'm going to reduce you down to 300 men. He starts out with 10,000 men. And he reduces him down to 300 men. And then he doesn't give him a gun, a cannon, a tank, a pistol, not even a water gun. He gives him a trumpet, a light, and a pitcher. Because sometimes the most powerful thing about you is the prophetic word that comes out of your mouth. The trumpet, the most powerful thing about you is the light that's on the inside of you. The scripture says you are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. The light, the prophetic word, and a pitcher. How many know you are an earthen vessel full of treasure this morning? We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. The most powerful thing about you is what's on the inside of you. And sometimes it's just a matter of accepting the challenge. How many know God gives Gideon the victory over the enemy when he just stands up and lets God do it? How many know they didn't even have to go in? He said, I want you to blow the trumpet. I want you to break the pitcher. And I want the light to shine. And when it did, how many know the enemy had to scatter? The scripture says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. Shamgar, Deborah. I love the story of Deborah. I already told you about that. A champion in the chariot. But what I love about Deborah is Deborah wasn't the only picture, only person in this story. She's the judge. But how many know she had a pew sister? You know what a pew sister is, right? That's the people that sit on the pew beside you every Sunday, that have your back, that pray for you when you're not there, that watch out for you, that send you a card or text you and say, hey, you're doing okay. A pew sister is somebody you got a connection in the faith to. But how many know Deborah was powerful in the chariot of Shamgar, but it was Jael or Yael who actually drove the tent stake through the temple of Sisera and brought the victory that day. How many know Jael would have, is the, maybe had the confidence because she hung out with powerful women who was a good example to her that said, hey, if Deborah can get in the chariot, I can use what God's put in my hand. And we have to influence one another and challenge us. How many know they didn't even have to be the same person, but they both played a role in the victory that God would give to his people. How many know we got to be able to cheer each other on? And we got to quit competing with each other. And we got to quit the blame game. And we got to quit thinking all the reasons why we can't do it. You have permission this morning to quit bailing out. Quit saying, well, God will use anybody but me. Maybe you're just the one that God wants to use today. These people are in their Bible because they didn't like the oppression of the people they were in, and they quit making excuses. Sometimes it's as simple as quit making excuses and say, God, use me. I told you the story the other week about the story when they had gone on, and I won't tell it completely correct, but they'd gone on a bus trip and taken a lot of young ministers who were training, and they had went to the house of a great man of God, and they took him into the bedroom, and they showed him where he'd knelt down on the floor, and the carpet was worn bare from spots. There's two spots on the floor, and the carpet was worn bare, and they said, well, why are those spots worn bare on the carpet? And that's where the man of God prayed day after day after day and prayed, and he would say, do it again, Lord, and do it with me. Have you heard the story? Do it again, Lord, and do it with me. And he said, as all those young ministers passed by there, and then they went back to the bus, and when they got to the bus, they did the head count like you do on a field trip, if you've ever been on a field trip, and they do the head count, and they're missing somebody. And so they go back into the room, and I believe it was John Wesley, but don't quote me on that, but they went back into the room, and here, kneeled down by the bed, was a young man praying in those same spots, his knees in the spots of that worn, bare carpet. And he was praying that same prayer. Do it again, Lord, and do it with me. And the man who was doing the head count said, come on, Billy Graham, it's time to get on the bus, and it's time to go. How many know sometimes it's you might not touch the whole world, but you might touch one soul. You might touch one person that'll touch the world. We don't know the power and influence we have on people. I've said this before in my classroom. One of my favorite bulletin boards to put up is the one where we do President's Day in the month of February, and we do the silhouettes of the president's face. You know what I'm talking about? And it looks like, the dark silhouette. And I take profile pictures of my kids in that class, and I put their faces on that silhouette. And they said, if I were the president, I would. And mostly they want to fly in Air Force One, or they want to buy all the candy in the world, or they want to get lots of toys, or they want to live in the White House, because they don't really have any concept of what the president does, but it must be pretty important, right? And so they write all the things that they want to do, you know. And it's one of my favorite bulletin boards to put up, because here's the deal, guys. Those presidents have to come out of somebody's kindergarten class, and they might as well come out of mine. They got to come out of somebody's Sunday school class, and they might as well come out of mine. They might have to come out of somebody's church, and they might as well come out of mine. They got to come out of somebody's Girl Scout troop, and it might as well be yours. Yeah. Don't underestimate the power of what you can do when God can take an ordinary person and do the extraordinary. The power of pew sisters, the power of connection, the power of the community of faith where we cheer each other on. How many know there's Ruth and Naomi and Mary and Elizabeth, and I could preach all of those all day long. I love those stories. The story of Mary and Elizabeth, you know me, you know that's one of my all-time favorite stories. Because when God began to speak to Zechariah and he said, your prayers have been answered. And Zechariah says, what prayers? Which prayers? Because I don't know if you're like Zechariah, but like I got a whole lot of prayers. So if God would come to me today and say, Lisa, your prayers have been answered, I'd have to say, okay, which one? All of them? I'll take them all, right? Because how many know he was offering the prayers to the people? But why Zechariah was in a place offering a prayers to the people, God's answering the prayers and the desire of Zechariah's heart, and he says, your wife Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And Zechariah says, have you talked to Elizabeth? Because she's well stricken in age. That's King James for she's old. She's beyond her point of reproduction. And so God speaks, and the scripture, and the Bible says that Zechariah, because he questions God, is not able to speak for 9 months. Guess who would be going around speechless for 9 months? Most of us in this room, because we would say, but God, all the reasons why it can happen instead of the reasons why it can. Yeah. And he has to go home to Elizabeth, and he has to say to her, yeah. Because remember, he can't speak. He can't talk. Don't you just love it when God begins to do something in your life that leaves you speechless? Where God begins to stir something and burst something inside of you that leaves you speechless and you don't know how to articulate it. I got to tell you, people, God is changing and stirring and moving some things, and I don't even know how to articulate it. But I know he's up to something good, and he's birthing something new and fresh in this season. And he goes home to her, and she says, crazy old man, right? And the scripture says, real quickly, it says she hides herself for 6 months. Because back then, ladies, they didn't have any of them little early pregnancy tests or sonograms and all the ways you find out. So there's not really any marker to let Elizabeth even know if she is with child. I mean, you know, sometimes God can begin to burst something in you and you're not even sure yourself. But the scripture said he goes to Mary and he says, Mary, you're going to conceive and bear a child of the Holy Spirit. And your cousin Elizabeth is with child as well. Buddy, if that ain't a faith builder to you, Mary might have said, I don't know about me, Lord, but hey, if you've done it for Elizabeth, you can probably do it for me. And what does she do? She saddles up her horse and she goes on a ride to Elizabeth's house, because Elizabeth, you and I got some talking to do. Did an angel show up at your house? Because an angel showed up at my house. And the scripture says that when Mary comes on her donkey or whatever she's riding in, as she comes up and she salutes Elizabeth, at the salutation of her voice, how many know your words have power? And at the salutation of her voice, the scripture says Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb. You know that feeling, ladies, after about 5-6 months, like you think you're pregnant, but all of a sudden when that baby starts to move, nobody's going to take that from you, because there's confirmation that there's something working on the inside of you. And when those babies leap together, how many know those two were pew sisters? They had a connection in the spirit and an anointing. Hallelujah. Our words of encouragement to each other cheer each other on. You have permission to quit coming up with all the reasons why God won't do it and start confessing all the reasons he would. With this, I want to close. How many know you're that girl? Remember that show, That Girl? Well, you're that girl. You're Deborah. You're JL. You are Mary. You're Elizabeth. You're Ruth. You're Esther. You're Naomi. You're that person that God wants to use. You're that dad. You're that mom. You're that leader, that husband, that wife, and God wants to use you. But as Beth's coming to the piano this morning, I want to leave you with this thought. It took two midwives, one mom, one sister, an Egyptian princess, and a whole group of handmaids to get Moses to Pharaoh's palace. I'm going to read that again. It took two midwives, one mom, one sister, an Egyptian princess, and some handmaids to get Moses to Pharaoh's palace. How many know Moses was the chosen man for the job? His mama knew that he was anointed from birth. She said, "You're not getting my baby. You're not getting my baby." And she put him in a basket, and she put Miriam there to watch him. She said, "Miriam, when they come, you tell them that you know somebody who can nurse that baby. And you bring that baby back to me. And I might only have a season of time." Parents, it seems like a long time when you're raising toddlers. It seems like a long time when they won't sleep at night, when they're throwing fits and tantrums and diapers and bottles. And before you know it, you blink your eyes, and they're grown, and they're sprouting their wings, and they're finding their calling. She said, "Miriam, when they find that baby, you bring it back to me, because I have a small window, and I'm going to nurse that baby all as long as I can. And while I'm nursing that baby, I'm going to tell him, Moses, you're chosen. Moses, you're a leader. Moses, you're a powerful man of God. Moses, God's got great things in store for you. Moses, you're not an Egyptian. You have a heart of a Hebrew in your chest, and don't ever forget who you are." She nursed that baby, and maybe she sang songs over him. Maybe she anointed him. Maybe she prayed over him. But I'm sure she confessed in him, "Moses, I might not always be there in the natural, but your mama will always have your back." Aren't you thankful for a mom or a dad that can always have your back? And while some people are telling their kids they're stupid and they're worthless and they're not ever going to amount to anything, how many know it's just a double challenge for us to say, "Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? I don't care where you came from. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care what your bank account looks like. You are anointed, and you are called, and you are powerful, and you are chosen, and God's got great things in store for you. Don't you ever settle for less. Now, I don't care if that airplane crashes after the first time. You fly it again. And then you fly it again, and you fly it again. Until now, American Airlines can take us all over the world. Because somebody had permission to quit believing all the reasons why they couldn't and started believing the reasons they could." Stand with me this morning. I want to pray with you this morning. If you're here this morning and you want special prayer, we would love to pray over you. But I want to challenge you as moms and dads and leaders and Sunday school teachers and youth pastors and aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents and whatever. How many know you're powerful and your words have power? And I'm not just talking to kids today. I'm talking to wherever you are. How many know Moses was 80 years old when God called him and sent him back? Elizabeth was older and well stricken in age, but Mary was just a young girl. And when they came together, let me just tell you something. There's something powerful about when an older generation can grab hold of the hands of a younger generation and say, "I need the strength of the younger generation, but I need the wisdom of the old." I love generational church. I love kids, and I love seniors, and I love all of that because I believe we learn from each other. Hallelujah. So you have permission today to quit making up excuses and all the reasons why you can't do it, why your kids can't do it, why your marriage can't work, why your relationships don't work, why you can't find the job that you need, why the, you know, all the reasons why it won't work. And start confessing over yourself all the reasons why it will and why it can. Why? Because Esther anointed herself with oil before she ever went up for the challenge. What's on the inside of you is more powerful than what's going on around you today. And so I want to pray. I want to pray over your marriages. I want to pray over your kids. I want to pray over your jobs. I want to pray over our community, our schools. And Father, we ask for forgiveness for all the times that we've wanted to quit because we didn't think we had the goods. But today, Lord, hallelujah, I thank you for the permission to quit talking myself out of your goodness, to quit talking myself out of your favor, quit talking myself out of your provision. Lord, I pray over every heart in here. If there's one that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, Lord, that they will find that experience with you today. Lord, that you will stir their hearts, touch their lives, Father. Lord, for every child that's back there, Lord, being poured into today, God, that you are making them world changers, that we are raising men and women of God that have integrity and honor and strength and character, Lord, that will raise up a generation, Lord, that's not affected by color, creed, backgrounds, or any other thing, Father, but we know that we're children of the Most High God. Lord, I thank you that right now your peace is coming. Your presence, Lord, is settling every issue in our hearts and in our minds, Father. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. While Beth sings a song, our kids will be dismissed to come back in. If you want special prayer this morning, come on up front. We would love to pray with you in Jesus' name.